This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris. Happy New Year. We missed you last week. Hopefully everybody had a great New Year's Eve and you're already off to an awesome start this year. And it's exciting. Like, this time of year is always really exciting to me. Actually, what happens is the day after Christmas, I immediately switch into like go mode where I'm just ready to get after it. Sometimes it's the evening of Christmas Day because all the fun stuff is over, the presents are open, and you know, it's kind of starting to quiet down, and now my brain has shifted right into business mode and I get all excited. But today is January 7th, 2025. 2025 is incredible. And as you're listening to this, I'm actually already accomplishing a personal goal. And that is, I'm sitting right now on the beach in Bora Bora with my good friends Tommy and Bree, my wife, my good friend Aaron Gaynor. And this is how we're kicking off our year, is, you know, trying to do a little bit more personal, you know, some more personal goals. So this particular episode is one that I usually do every year, except for this year I decided to record a new one, and it's all around goal setting and goal accomplishing. Now listen, before you try and hop off here because you already got it all figured out, remember, setting the goals is the easiest part. Accomplishing them, that's the hard part, and that's where most fail. So, you know, I've learned over the years, and especially over these last few years, on how to actually accomplish these goals. But I've learned how to do it, and I want to share with you just some things along the way that I have used and that I know others have used to actually accomplish the goal, because that's what's most important. And I want you to do that. I want you to have those things for you for this year. So, and when I'm talking about goals, like, I don't just mean, you know, like business goals. Like I just told you, you know, I'm sitting in Bora Bora right now because it's been a goal of mine to be able to go there, number one. But that's how I wanted to kick off this year, was accomplishing one of my personal goals. And that was finally making it to these overwater huts in this beautiful blue water in Bora Bora. But you've got your family or your personal goals. You've got business goals. You have health goals, maybe, if you want to have those. And you can also have, you know, spiritual or your religious goals. And I want to be able to talk just about, you know, each of them. But let me go ahead and start with something that that I was listening to this morning that literally just came up, like, this morning. And go, I get up, you know, or, excuse me, the morning I'm recording this. And I wasn't looking for it. It just came up, and I thought, well, this is something that was cool. And it was something that Sarah Blakely said, who was the founder of Spanx. So for you guys listening, you know who I'm talking about, Spanx. If to ask your wife, she'll know. Also married to Jesse Itzler, if you know who Jesse Itzler is. But actually, it was really cool. And just, you guys don't know, Sarah Blakely founded Spanx, like I was saying, and sold that thing for $1.2 billion. Like, the story's actually really cool. But she was giving a speech at a college graduation. And she said, if you write your goals down, it makes all the difference. And that Harvard did a study in 1973. They took the graduating class and they asked how many had goals, and 100% of them had goals. So that entire class in 1973 that they asked had goals. Okay, they had them. And then they asked how many had actually written down those goals upon graduation, and only 5% had written them down. So then in 1993, 20 years later, they followed up with that class and found out that the 5% who actually wrote down their goals, wrote them down, were worth more financially than any of the other 95% who did not write them down. The 5% who wrote them down were financially better off, worth more than the other 95% who didn't. And there's so many stories like that around people who are actually writing down their goals. And so again, writing them down, that's half the battle, right? Goal setting is the easiest part. Achieving the goals is the hard part. But there are steps along the way that can help you do it. And these are critical steps in the things I want to be able to share with you. So there's five rules that we're going to go over on this podcast with you that'll kind of help you, I think, set the tone. And so this will be a little bit different because I'm going to use a presentation that I have modified that I've done over the years, but I've modified this one. So instead of it being, you know, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm sorry you won't see my beautiful face. You're actually going to see the deck that I have used, you know. So I'm gonna go ahead and pull that up and go through it with you now. But there's a reason that goal setting is critical, and not just to accomplish a goal, but there is a reason that goal setting is critical. So the first thing is, you know, goals help you create focus and direction. Right. And it's important to have those. And something what I used to do with all of our employees at Rhino is I would check in on them and ask them what their goals were. And then I would reach out to them throughout the year and try and hold them accountable. But my hope was that they had a set of goals that they wanted to accomplish. And I could figure out, well, what part can I play in that to help them hit it? But what I wanted it for them was so it would create some focus and direction for them throughout the year. And then goals challenge you to grow, and growing is important because if you're not growing, you're dying, okay? Especially in business, right? But also in your personal life, right? If you have to you have to make sure you have goals because it challenges you to grow. And then they also drive you to take action, to do something, right? Because you're working towards something. In order to work towards that something, you have to do things, right? So it helps you create action. And then what's also great is it offers inspiration. All right, it helps you express these endorphins and make you feel good. It's kind of like when you make a sale, that feeling you get after you make a sale, or that feeling you get after you maybe saved something or you found a problem and you're able to fix it, or in your relationship, whatever it is, like it's that endorphins it releases that makes you feel good. That inspires you, and it inspires the people around you. So now here's three common pitfalls when you're goal setting. Like these are the most common. Number one, your why is not strong enough or compelling enough to make you do the things you need to do to accomplish on your goals on the days you don't want to do them, right? So your why or your purpose for that goal has got to be strong enough to force you to follow your plan to accomplish the goal. Here's the second thing. You're thinking of your goals, not from your goals. You get that? You're thinking of your goals, not from your goals. Okay. And number three, your goals are written in the wrong tense. It's not I'm going to, it's I'm glad I. All right. As if you've accomplished them, right? You're speaking it into existence, right? So those are three common pitfalls that we see when people are setting goals. All right. Now let's go ahead and jump into it. Rule number one, pretty straightforward. You've heard this before. If you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. You have got to have a plan in place. You can't just fucking wing it. You actually got to put a plan in place and actionable items to accomplish these things. And again, we'll go through some of this stuff, but you have to make sure that you have a plan that you can follow, that's one that you can actually do. Don't dream so big that you can't accomplish, you know, the goal, right? Make sure you got a reasonable plan in place that you can do based on your timing and whatever's going on in your life, right? Because what you don't want to do is create a plan that you can't execute on and then you fail early. All right, but rule number one, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. Rule number two, reflect on the goals you accomplished last year. Okay, maybe you did this like I do in between that Christmas and New Year's time. But you accomplished some things last year. Hell, you may have already accomplished something this first week that we're into the new year. All right, but it's important to reflect on the goals that you accomplished because if you can close your eyes and you can think about the goals you accomplished, you can feel that feeling. That feeling is what we're chasing, right? That feeling is what we're chasing whenever we accomplish our goals. Just like when you make a sale. You finally get that sale. Boom, man, you think about where you're at. You're on like cloud nine. That's how it is when you accomplish your goals, right? So rule number two, reflect on the goals you just accomplished this past year. Number three, you got, this is mission critical to goal accomplishing, okay? You have to create habits. And these creating these habits will help you accomplish your goals. Now, again, this is the most difficult part, and unfortunately, this is where a lot of folks fall short. Right? And because it's hard. Like, it's hard to do these things consistently. So let me give you a few stages that you can follow to create habits. Just a few stages for you to think about, all right? There's four of them, and to be specific. Because when you make these habits, so you have to do that first. When you make these habits, then your habits make you. Okay, this is important. There's four stages to it. The very first one is cues. The second is cravings. The third stage is response. And the fourth, our favorite, my favorite, and your favorite, is the rewards. You got cues, cravings, response, and reward. Now let's jump into that real quick. Let's just start with the first one. Sorry for the interruption. To the point, listeners, have you heard of Rilla? Are you using Rilla yet? If not, are you for Rilla? See what I did there? Rilla is the leading speech analytics software for the trades. It is on a mission to bring physical ride-alongs to an end. You can coach your reps with virtual ride-alongs now. They're 100 times better, faster, and much more efficient than the physical ones. All you got to do is use the Killa Rilla. That's R-I-L-L-A, Rilla. And it's cues. This is really important. And something that I actually have done for a lot of years. I have cues. Let me just explain to you what I'm talking about. A cue is like a prompt that gets you started, right? So here's a perfect example. You ever notice that whenever people are posting like food ads, they're posting like pictures of like this pizza that looks fresh and there's a ton of cheese and there's pepperonis on it and you can almost smell it because the picture looks so good. Well, that's a cue. That is prompting you to start to order a pizza or that you want a pizza because you visually saw that cue, right? You saw the car, you really want it, and this social media does this to you all the time. I mean, shit, you talk about it, next thing you know, it's popping up in your social feed, and they're giving you cues. They're trying to prompt you to get started in the process of purchasing XYZ or eating XYZ. So number one is the cues, right? That is what that's what that does. And it could be something like this. Think about this. It could be like a song that you hear. Think about like a song that you hear that automatically makes you think of something, a time, or a person. I'll give you a great example. So it's come out of Christmas. Every time I hear the song White Christmas by Bing Crosby, it makes me think of my dad. Every single time, it makes me think of him. So, but there's cues that happen like that. You know, that could be food. It could be a song. It could be that you're putting something up on your mirror. Like another thing for me is I have tattoos on my arms and my entire left arm is asleep. Well, everything on that arm is a cue. I can look at it and it makes me think, okay, like I've been down this road before and this was a reminder that I can get through this. Or I've been in tough times before and this is a reminder that I came out of those tough times. Or, hey, this is, you know, I don't think I'm going to be able to accomplish this goal. Oh, yeah, that's right. I've already accomplished this big goal that I had. Like, and there's cues that remind me of things. Now, the second part is the cravings. Okay, the cravings. So the cues start the process, and then we move into cravings. Okay, because now I'm thinking about it, and now I want it. A prediction, a cravings is a prediction that the brain makes about what the cue means, right? So the brain decides, man, the food would be good. Or the song creates this emotion, right? So I saw it, one, now I'm feeling it because my brain is telling me I want that pizza or I want to hear that song. Okay, this is where, if you've ever done a vision board before, Or you've heard of vision boards. It's where you've kind of cutting out, putting all the things that you want in life, whether it be personal, business, whatever, it doesn't matter, anything that you want. You put it on a vision board and you put it up to where you see this thing every single day. Or it might be in your office, you've got different sayings around there that you can see, you know, that make you think one way or react one way, like a no zero days or a don't talk about it, be about it. You know, it's just a visual cue, you know, to kind of trigger, you know, a process. And then you've got the cravings, which is like, okay, now we're in it. All right. Again, it's a prediction that the brain makes about what the cue means. Right. So now we're into the process. All right. Number three in the four stages of creating habits is the response. Action taken. You saw the food. The food looked good. So now you eat the food. Okay, you saw the goal you wanted to accomplish. Okay, you saw it. Now you're starting to do the things towards that goal that you have put in place in your plan, right? You see it. You go, okay, here's the path I got to follow on it because I want to get this goal accomplished. Boom. Now the response is action taken. Now you're taking the steps and actually doing the things to accomplish the goal. All right. In this instance, you saw the food. Brain tells you you want the food. Now you're eating the food. Okay. It's a beautiful little cycle. And then the fourth is the reward. It's the positive, feels good outcome. Saw the food. Brain said, I want the food. I ate the food. Reward, food tastes good. All right. Your response is satisfied. Boom. There's the endorphins. Let's it go. So very critical, those four stages, cues, cravings, response, and reward. Now, let's go ahead and stay with rule number three here. Let me just read this to you. If a behavior is not rewarding, it's unlikely to become a habit. It's so important to have the reward to continue on to want to go after, to do the work, to accomplish the goal. Like, you got to have little triggers along the way. It needs to feel good. And train the brain of that feeling for the habit to continue. If you don't have these ongoing checkpoints, you know, not that you've accomplished the goal, but you've accomplished your Q1 objective, that your Q1 plan that you had in place, or your first month, or your first week, or your day, or whatever the hell it is. But you need to have those cues that you actually accomplish and the feeling attached to it of the progress to continue that habit. If you try to make it all year long without having any feel good portions of the goal chasing, there's a good chance that this will fizzle out. Because you don't have that feeling to keep driving you forward and going. All right, the more you do it, it becomes reinforced and you do it automatically. You're basically trying to recreate your autopilot in your head, right, by creating these habits. And, you know, it takes, you hear variations of this, but habits take 21 days to form, 21 consistent days to form. One of the habits I had started last year was I started getting up at 5:30. And I didn't want to get up at 5:30, but it was a habit I created because I was trying to overcome, you know, or trying to make sure I stay on top of my game of being mentally tough, right? And it was just an easy win to start my day. And I wanted to have that daily feeling of winning and losing. And by the way, like, I still lost a lot where I didn't get up at 5:30. If I got up at 5:31, that sucked because I did not hit my goal. That first check-in of my goal. And the cue was there because I opened up my eyes and looked and I saw it said 5:30, yet I still laid there in bed. And then when it said 5:31, I was pissed enough that I got up. Damn it, I missed my goal. So then I had to have another goal in place, you know, to start with. So I have many things I do in the morning to kind of lead me down this path. But I have these habits I've created on purpose to reach a goal. All right. But, you know, like I said, sometimes these things take 21 days to create. So let me summarize this real quick. The cue triggers a craving, which motivates a response, right? We got the three stages already. The cue triggers a craving, which motivates a response, which then provides the reward, which satisfies the craving and ultimately becomes associated with the cue. It's a beautiful little cycle of creating habits that will actually stick. But the visuals are so important. Put them on your mirror. Put them in your closet. Put them on your in your car. Put them at your desk. Have it come up on your phone. Put it on your desktop, on your computer. Put it somewhere where you're going to see it every single day to trigger the first step, and that is the cue. You got to have the cue, all right? So again, the cue triggers a craving, which motivates a response, which then provides the reward, which satisfies the craving, and ultimately brings us back to the cue. Got it? All right. Moving on. So I'm going to go into just a little bit deeper on the four laws of behavior change from habits. Again, you know, you got to make it obvious with the visual cues. You got to make it attractive so you have the easy checkpoints along the way. You got to make it easy, right? More convenient, shorter time frames, and be specific. Be specific with your goals so you know, like, you can actually check the box. And then make it satisfying so it's more enjoyable and you're more likely to do it again, right? You got to have that reward at the end. So rule number four, create goal categories. So sometimes people make the mistake of trying to put too much stuff out there, like, and you can't accomplish all of these goals. But maybe you can accomplish one in your personal life, one in your business life, or whatever. So let me just jump into that real quick. So again, the first one I talk about is family and personal, because to me, that is the most important goal you can create. And let me just give you some suggestions on, like, what they could be. So if you're having trouble thinking about it, what they could be. Vacations and adventure. Like, again, I wanted to kick off my beginning of my year right out of the gate. I got a solid first week of business in, and I jumped straight to one of my first personal goals of going to Bora Bora. All right, so it could be vacations, adventure. It could be in your marriage, right? Maybe it's date night, you know, that you have that you're doing once a week or once every other week, or maybe you just do it once a month and that's a good starting point. Maybe you're doing one thing one-on-one with your kids so that way that you can continue that or build a connection with them or maintain a connection with them. In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp, deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game. Maybe the personal thing is something that's material, right? Like, you wanted to get the, you know, the car, or you wanted to get the, you know, the tickets to this concert, or you wanted to get whatever, like, whatever it is, the money, like, whatever it is. Or maybe the thing is you want to learn a new skill. So that's one of my goals this year is, you know, I can go to Mexico and get by, right? Un poquito español. So I want to just get better at being able to speak more fluent Spanish. And so that's something I'm going to work on this year is being able to actually carry on a conversation in Spanish. So I have to create a plan for that and work backwards on how am I actually going to accomplish that, because it's going to require time. It's going to require consistent training, and it's going to require some wins along the way to keep me motivated to want to do it, right? Because it's going to be difficult. But I'm committed to it because I want to do it, because every time I travel quite a bit, and when I go to Spanish-speaking countries, I want to be able to actually have carry on conversations and also hear what the shit they're talking about me behind my back. So number one, you know, is your family and your personal goals. So make sure those are really clear. And again, don't put so many on there that you can't accomplish them. Just find a couple that are really important to you and nail it. And you'll work the plan backwards from it. Two is your business and professional goals, right? Most of you have probably already been thinking about these. And oftentimes we put these before our personal goals or our professional, or, I mean, our personal or our family goals. But this is another one. And it could be money. Like this year, you're trying to hit X revenue. Well, hopefully by now, you've already created what the plan backwards to actually accomplish it, because we gave you the budget planning, you know, the budget planning podcast last year, at the end of last year, for you to help you budget to accomplish whatever that month, you know, that goal is. Maybe if you're working for another company, you're just trying to advance your career path. So what are you doing to try and advance your career path? Well, set the tone. This is what I want to be this year. I want to be a senior. I want to be a lead. I want to be a director. I want to be a whatever. And then you have got to have a plan in place to, you know, work checkpoints along the way, you know, to make sure you're hitting that goal. Maybe it's just education or your skill. You want to go get some new technical training. You want to learn a new skill. You want to learn a new trade. You want to learn a new whatever. You want to learn your finances better. Maybe it's you want to get some self-help books to help your confidence or to help your motivation. Or maybe it is a book. Or maybe you want to grow your network or your friend circle, right? Because we talk a lot about finding a good peer group, people who can help you along the way. Or maybe it's you want to get a mentor, or you want to become a mentor to somebody else. But anyway, there's a couple ideas that you can do with business, you know, your business and professional goals. The other one would be health. Like, and again, you know, if you listen to this podcast long enough, you know, this is something, that journey that I've been on and a lot of my friends have been on, is us trying to be more healthy. Because I spent the previous years just like eating like shit, traveling all over the place. I felt terrible. I thought, you know, I looked like the Grinch, to where I was like skinny fat. So I was just getting a belly because I'm now 45. So I was like, I'm done with this. I've neglected my body. I'm not getting any younger. So I wanted to start to do put some health goals in place. And I did. And it sucked. But I did it. And you know how it is when you work out, man. It takes forever to start to see like any variation or change in your body. And that's like the trigger, right? That's the reward, is I see the change in my body. Well, shit, it takes a while to get there. But, you know, I've been working out five, sometimes 6 days a week, you know, for the past 5 months. And I certainly see changes, you know, in the mirror, which continues to motivate me to go on the days I don't want to go back to the gym or to not eat like shit. Right. So it could be physical. It could just be your diet. It could be your mental health, by the way. Like, that's something that I take very serious, as you guys know. It's maybe that's you have a goal of making sure that you go see a psychiatrist. And by the way, there's no shame in seeing a psychiatrist, by the way, or a therapist. None. It's actually a very responsible decision for you to go and seek help, because you don't have everything figured out regardless of what you think. It could just be self-care, man. Like, go and take care of yourself for once in a while. Maybe you just have a you day where you kind of go and do your own thing. That gives you peace. If that's golfing, if it's, you know, going and just going on a hike or whatever it is that gives you peace. And maybe it's going and watching a movie on your own. Or maybe that something is just rest. Like, rest is also incredibly important, you know, for health. But whatever it is, you come up with your health goals as well. And again, make it to where it's specific, so you can actually check the box when you accomplish it. And the last one is spiritual or religious, you know, your religious goals. And again, I'm just giving you four categories, right? You got your personal, you got your business, you have your health, and you have your spiritual. This is just how I use it. And that spiritual could be whether you're going to meditate, you know, once a day or once, you know, every other day, or pray, whichever one you do. Or maybe you're going to read, right, something about, you know, or reading the Bible, or you're going to read, you know, whatever it is that you practice. Or journaling. That's something I started doing last year, was journaling every morning. And that's been great for me, because it actually allows me to work in pray and reading at the same time as I'm journaling, because I'm, you know, reading verses and then trying to write down what they mean to me in that moment of my life. And all it does is trigger thought for me, you know, and how does that apply to my life personally? How does it apply to my life with business? How does it apply to my life with my health? So it's been really, really helpful for me to do journaling. And then if something, you know, of course, giving back is something that's incredibly important to me. So I want to make sure I've got my, you know, a giving back goal. So there's four like categories that you can pick from. And again, you can write down a bunch of them if you're trying to go through this process right now, and then just start to eliminate, you know, the ones that, you know, that you know, you'll have an idea of like, yeah, those are probably a little more far-fetched. But just kind of come up with maybe your top three in each of those. And then maybe you just choose one, you know, from each of them. Or maybe you only do your personal and business, and that's okay too, whichever one works for you. But what's incredibly important is when you write those things down, circle the ones that become non-negotiables for you. This is important. You got to have non-negotiables in place, right? You have to set boundaries for yourself and refuse to do anything other than what drives you to that goal because it's a non-negotiable. So maybe that's your marriage, man. Like maybe your marriage is on the rocks right now. And maybe you are wanting to get it squared away. You just don't know what to do. Well, fucking figure out what to do. There's people you can ask. There's plenty of things you can do to get it done. You just got to take action. All right. I really, really want that for you, especially if you're in that situation, but make circle that, or if you're writing it, if you're typing it out, make it bold and red or whatever you got to do and put that shit in your face all the time so you can see that cues. But your non-negotiables will only work. You'll only be able to follow them when it gets hard if your why is strong enough. Gotta be strong. You do not want to get divorced. You do not want to have a broken home. You do not want to have a shitty relationship with your kids. You do not want to lose your business. You do not want to lose employees. Right? You do not want to become to look like the Grinch like I did. You know, you have those non-negotiables have got to have a solid, strong why behind them to get you to do work towards it every single day. And then as you accomplish these things, because you've set yourself either monthly goals or quarterly goals, physically check them off. Like, I don't know if that's too old school for you, but I like to physically check off goals as I accomplish them. Boom, scratch that shit out. Put a check mark by it, whatever it is, because just the act of doing that releases endorphins because you've accomplished the goal. That's why it's important to be specific with the goals, by the way, and not just to be like, you know, I want to get smarter this year. That's too vague. You need to be like, I'm going to learn how to read my P&L this year and actually understand it. And then when that happens, boom, check the box. You're going to feel so fucking good that you accomplished that goal, and that's going to release that endorphin and make you want to go after the next one. So the last rule is rule number five. And rule number five is if you need to find an accountability partner, all right? Because the odds of you holding yourself accountable all the time are pretty slim, unless you're a fucking unicorn, okay? But you need to find an accountability partner. And maybe it's your significant other. Maybe it's you're a friend. Maybe it's a peer group. I would say maybe refrain from making social media your accountability partner. You know, some people like post things and be like, I'm putting it out there so you guys can hold me accountable. That doesn't always really work. And do you really want a bunch of people you don't know or a bunch of people you kind of know or who think they know you, who don't see all the shit you're doing? Is that really the best accountability partner for you? Probably not. Find somebody who's okay with pushing back on you, somebody who's not afraid to hurt your feelings, somebody who's afraid to, you know, and somebody who's not afraid to hold you accountable because they actually care about you and know who you are. That's an accountability partner. All right, so that's an incredibly important part to this. So quick recap, and we'll tie this, you know, this first episode of the year up all in the pretty little bow. It's not just about the goal setting, it's about the goal accomplishing. Create a realistic plan with specific checkpoints along the way where you can check the boxes or scratch out the goal because you've actually accomplished that goal and it makes you feel good. Do not forget to reflect on, and that this is especially as you go throughout the year. Do not forget when it hits June and July and you're flying all over the place and shit's busy, that when you get to fall and it slows back down, instead of feeling like shit, the business is slowing down, take a minute. Take a minute to reflect on what you just accomplished the first half of the year and be grateful for the wins and be even more grateful for the losses, because you learned some sort of lesson in that loss that's going to make you better as you move forward. And do not forget to create the habits. Again, the most important part is those four stages: the cues, the cravings, the response, and ultimately the reward. Because that's what we're all setting goals for, is the reward. It gives us focus. So when we get up every day, we got something to work towards. It challenges you to grow. Those goals cause you to take action, so you're actually doing something every day. And it's going to leave you inspired to write down more year after year after year and accomplishing them. Hopefully, all making your life better. Because that's what I want for you. And I'll be doing mine right alongside of you. So go kick some fucking ass this year. Destroy these goals. Celebrate the wins along the way. And please let me know if you set some goals and you want to reach out to me and tell me. I would love to know the goals that you guys are doing. I know quite a few of you did this year too, which was awesome. Reach out to me and tell me when you're accomplishing goals. But please do it. I want nothing but the absolute best for you. All right? And this is just one tool that can help you live a very, very awesome, fruitful, and fulfilling life. I love all y'all guys and gals. Kick some ass this year. Go crush your goals. You don't got to do everything, but you got to set some fucking goals and then accomplish them. No 0 days.